I am unashamed. What about you?
John listens to the podcast. I see it sometimes when I come.
I'm building calls.
Yeah, I come in there. So Stone was here, John, and said that while he's working, he hears the podcast because instead of working, it was the implication. He didn't say that, but the implication was while I'm working, Godwin's listening to the podcast, so I get some of it through that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be what he would say. But, you know, remember when we used to build them, we'd watch TV and build duck calls. Yeah. I watched the computer and build duck calls. I watched the podcast.
In fact, I came in there yesterday, I think, yesterday, and you were watching the one that Stone was on.
Yeah.
You got to remember, building duck calls is
by the way, him and Aaron isn't talking right now.
How is that? But he told me, remember, he said they'll drive to Gulf Shores, Alabama.
So what's six that? Six,
7 hours and never say a word.
Yeah, so I guess there's nothing different.
Yeah, so they're
business as usual.
What I was going to say is building duck calls is one of the most monotonous things you can do on the planet. Same thing over and over all day. You have to break it
You're
up.
You're a human machine.
And always have the perfect exhibit. Because people are like, well, why are you watching TV? You know, the production, you know. Well, Willie went through that stage for a few weeks. You know, everybody going to stand up and, you know, work with desks that are. I was like, hey, you know what monotony does to people? Look at Si. Si, he just sat there and did the reads and he didn't have a distraction. That drove him crazy.
Yeah. Well, he may have been already tipping toward crazy.
Well, I agree. He had insane tendencies.
Just ask any of his former COs. Can you imagine having Si working for you?
He was born different.
Yeah.
I knew he was different when he literally ran naked until he got of school age and he got his butt tore up. Because he said, oh, I'm not wearing any clothes. And she said, oh, my mama said, oh, you're going to wear clothes just to school. He said, mm-mm. I mean, and he got his tail tore open the belt.
Wait a minute now. He wanted to go naked to school?
He said, I'm not going to wear clothes. I mean,
what few
pictures they had. You've seen these pictures of these family groups that are really poor, which we were.
Don't tell me he's naked.
And they're all lined up. And look. So I would be standing there, just
butt naked. He was.
Oh my goodness!
he was a nudist.
He was a free spirit.
That's hard to delete.
So well, when Si retires, I guess he'll end up in some nudist colony somewhere.
As a little boy, he just didn't like clothes, and we got to where we didn't think anything about it. I mean,
he was just the nudist. He was the youngest one.
Well, that's even more disturbing.
Youngest? Well, I'm just telling you. I'm giving you a little background of the Robertson clan.
Well, I tell you, it's a wonder.
I had not either. Well, I'd heard the story.
However, children who were like that, when the polio virus came through and it devastated kids, well, they did a big study on it once they came up with the vaccine and all, and they did a study, and they found that all the kids who ran naked and played in the dirt in the rural areas, rural children caught polio.
Which is one.
So, well, no. Oh, no. I mean, hey, the people up and down the road, I mean, no.
There's a lot of nudity.
They were all like that. What I'm saying is we stayed outdoors.
Yeah, that's not normal. People don't run around naked.
Well, I might have had a little raggedy pair of blue jeans that somebody had given us we'd cut up. All the shoes we got were hand-me-downs from somewhere else. We didn't get like new shoes ever
that fit.
My feet were getting bigger, you had big feet.
There's a big difference in some blue jeans and nothing.
It'll give you some big bunions later on in life. I know that because you get your feet squeezed in these shoes.
We didn't wear shoes,
but the children that played in the dirt, they said, somehow through that had built the natural immunity to that particular virus, and it got the city kids. Yep. Well, they got to looking at it, and they said, well, how come nobody, all these people around that parish in Louisiana out in the woods, the rural areas, we went to school barefooted.
Godwin, welcome to the show. What we've learned thus far, let me review.
The girls,
if you
used
don't
to...
want polio, go around naked.
But you gotta be in the
dirt. If you
wear
too tight of shoes, you get bunions.
Look, the girls ragged me so much, them little city
such
girls.
Education around
they
me.
Ragged me relentlessly because I didn't have shoes and, you know, and our britches, you know, the knees. Now they make them with the knees out. Well, these were for real knees out. So we would just take off running down a dirt road to get to the bus. You know, kids, how they are, they're running toward the bus. We'd get on there, you know, we'd side with no shoes, and we just went to school that way. Well, the little city girls, you know, yeah, because they looked down on us.
Poor white
Well,
trash.
When I hit about the 10th, 11th grade and got to be a football hero, they wanted to date me. I said, remember that time we was in the first grade? And you ragged me about being barefooted. I said, you're out.
Good.
She said, your brother was naked.
Well, I'm just saying.
Weirdo. So,
we were country people trying to blend into city life, and it came slow.
So one of my favorite Aunt Judy stories, your older sister, because apparently Si also had a bedwetting, I've heard you tell that, and a sleepwalking problem.
Well, I knew about the sleepwalking.
He would go great distances asleep.
Well, right. She said she and her boyfriend were sitting out on the, you know, I guess this is the way you date, you know, out on the front steps, you know, so I guess everybody can keep an eye on it.
Sit on the porch.
And here comes Si with his tidy whities. Sound asleep.
I thought he was naked.
No, he had underwear.
No, he was
so
like
this was later.
Junior high.
He was bigger.
Yeah. So at some point he moved up to Tarzan.
He by comes necessity because they did have a code. You can't come up here naked.
So he went to Tarzan without the body.
That's right. Can you imagine a little skinny side?
No.
And so look, he and they're sitting there on the steps. Then they look up and see him, which is, you know, kind of troubling, I'm sure, to Judy because here's her little brother. She's trying to date here, and he just splits them. He walks right in between them, doesn't look to the right or the left. His eyes are open, but he's just, it's, you know, glassy, just looking off in space. And he goes out and he starts just walking down the road, on the road, sound asleep.
Yep.
And then they ran after him and woke him up. And he has no idea how he got there.
But
the
reality show experts, you know, the ones in the know, out of all of us, they said, there's one, though, with just raw talent. The one that is not ashamed to step across that line and act like a complete idiot. He said, the one that does that, that's what you call talent. And I said, I missed that. I just thought it was stupidity.
No.
He said, oh, no, that's talent, dude.
That's right.
And that's why I was the star of the show.
He was.
Do you miss up at the workplace?
Oh, he comes up there and sees us every once in a while.
Does he?
Yeah.
Comes he still up likes there,
to he gets tired of sitting home. Yeah, he comes up there and tells us what we're doing wrong.
Si was the duck call read man for how many years, Jace?
I'd say 10.
Yeah, he was about a decade.
Oh, so, yeah, he looks at Jackie's reads every time.
So there was an episode.
Of Jackie.
Oh, yeah, Jackie.
Yeah, he's good.
That's why the duck calls got better when Si got moved out to the pasture. So there's an early episode on Duck Dynasty where Si comes in. It was the one the Swede was on. Somebody asked me about the Swede. And he comes in and he just like dumps a box of reeds out on the show. And it's like, boys, I'm out of here. I quit. That's the last read I'll ever do.
It's the reason I don't remember that because he quit all the time.
Well, that's right. But in reality show, that's exactly what he did. Like as soon as the show took off. And then it was like, he was like, I ain't building no more. Because, you know, we're still trying to, now we're selling more duck calls than ever.
But a lot of people might not realize about Silas Merritt. Silas Merritt Robertson is Silas Merritt.
Named after your mom.
And y'all will probably back me up on this. He's one of the godliest guys I've ever run up.
Well, he's an awesome guy.
If he's got a Bible in his hand, we're good. But outside of that, we got problems. I'm gonna get him some clothes for Christmas.
He loves
this year
to sing.
Hearing this story, just,
well,
because I don't
he'll
want
tell
him.
You.
I don't want him to revert back to his childhood. You know, because that's
just
what
tell
they
him.
Say.
Phil said you ran naked until you started going to school, and then it was a
don't even bring it up.
It was a major ordeal around there for a while. He'll tell you about it.
Because they say when people get old, they revert back to their childlike ways.
Well, I hope not.
So, Si, now with the coronavirus, and Godwin has seen him. Y'all probably haven't seen him in a while. So he's got a little gut on him. You know, for the first time ever. And he's kind of embarrassed about it because he keeps talking about it. Like, he's like, I got to get rid of this gut. I got to get rid of this gut.
So I said,
yeah.
I saw him last night. I didn't see a gut.
It's a little.
It's a little pooch.
It's just a pooch. It's just a small.
But skinny as he's been all these years, he just now developed. I don't know. He must be eating well or whatever.
Well, that's what he's saying. He ain't doing anything. And he's got his COPD doesn't allow him to do a lot. But the problem is, I said, Si, you're 72 years old. I said, at this point, A little pooch isn't going to really. Because he didn't eat something. Somebody had a delicious dessert and he passed on.
Fame and fortune couldn't have come to a better guy.
That's right.
So I might weigh 120 pounds. Well,
he's probably thin. About 130 now.
Yeah. He's thin.
He's thin. And he's always has been.
He's always been like it.
And he's got that, like, the scoliosis like Granny had and Judy and now Phyllis. Has it too? The shoulder blade gets out of whack. Something about their spine. They got an issue there.
Yeah, genetic. You don't want to go back too far in that gene pool.
That's some redneck just went by. Yeah, because we're in the lair. We're deep in the enclaves.
So that's no muffler.
No, that's
not even that long.
Yeah, that's
there's a certain distance when you get out towards fields where mufflers are optional. And everybody, if you see somebody walking on the side of the road. They're armed. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a woman. She's got a pistol on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
She's walking like, just pull over. Yeah. I dare you.
The city dwellers would be really surprised. They're going to come down in here and start tearing up because everybody I know.
Yeah. Here's some of those rioters when they say, oh, we're coming to your neighborhood. We're coming to the country. I was thinking, ooh, we might want to rethink that because – you start showing up in some areas down in here with people mischief on your mind.
Maybe that's why all the signs from 15 miles out, every one of them had bullet holes
in
them.
They was coming, but they turned around. They said,
when you see all the bullet holes in the sign, that's a sign you don't want to be going down in there with mischief.
I tell people, they're either angry, they're having a bad day, or they're sighting a rifle in. It's not that complex. Mm-mm.
I just think they watched enough TV. They just watched enough TV, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
If that's the way we're going to do this. Let's get it on.
Well, I know when we had.
But you're right. They're all armed, every one of them.
Well, it's funny because we're all armed to the teeth anyway. Of course, we live close to town. But whenever we had somebody, try to spread a few shots in our neighborhood, all of us doubled down and went for another full round. I mean, how much we spend? $5,000 with some more weapons. Look, I got one that's got a clip on it, a pistol that has 30 in it. Yep. I said, you talk about somebody 30 times? You want to try to mess?
It's not paranoia. It's just preparedness.
Right.
Prepared, just in case.
Thin line.
Thin line. I mean, because, people have mischief on their mind. So welcome officially, John Godwin.
Is this your first time here?
Well, on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's never been on the podcast before, which I thought was an oversight on our part.
Godwin, how were you? Did some of the Robertsons convert you?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did? There you go. Well, I didn't know that. Well, welcome aboard, brother.
He was the first left-winger you converted.
Yeah. I remember this story. You actually were at a duck calling contest.
Well, hang on. Before you tell that, we got to take a first break. So, Jace, one of our new podcast sponsors, some really good people that I had a great conversation with on the phone, a guy named Cody Maxwell, started a company back in 2011 called Capital Ranch Real Estate. And he lives he's in the Waco area, but he travels all over Texas. So he basically sells and helps people sell and helps people buy ranches and property in Texas, which, Texas is a big state. I mean, you can drive around Texas for a day or two and never get out of there. I mean, that's a huge state.
I stay lost every time I go there.
And I know that Jeff's been down there about 2 or 3 years, and I know you and Missy have family down there. Missy's got family as well. So why is the spirit of Texans love Texas?
Well, it's one thing. I mean, there's a sense of honor when you own land, and then it's like double honor if you own land in Texas.
That's right. It's just something about it. It's a spirit about the place. I love those guys. And I got a friend that moved there, and he was born in Minnesota, and he's got a T-shirt that said, I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as fast as I could. So I think that's kind of the spirit of it. So we want you to check these guys out. If a lot of people are buying real estate in Texas that aren't from there. from other states as well. So we want you to check these guys out. Basically, you can go to ranchrealestate.com. That's all one, ranchrealestate.com. That's their website. Or you can give them a call, 855-968-1200. That's 855-968-1200. And see if they can help you out.
So how'd your conversion come about? I've forgotten.
Well, when I come down here.
Tell about the first time you met
Dad. The first time.
I love this story.
When I grew up hunting, you know, Dad hunted, kept me in the woods, which was great. And we
you're
deer,
from like an hour south of here, Columbia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So we deer hunted, dove hunted, and squirrel hunted. That's all. We didn't duck hunt. And this guy moved in our neighborhood and invited us to go duck hunting. We did, and it got me. When he started calling them ducks and they responded, and then when they just cup and that wind, the hair on the back of my neck would stand up.
You had hair on the back of your neck.
Then I did. And I was 14 years old. Can you believe that? 14.
When
and
you showed up here?
No. Well, the first time I met you.
So, I didn't know you were 14.
I'm sure you remember this.
So
Dad.
You were 14.
I was 14. Yeah, so I was 14 or 15. Of course, we could get a driver's license at 15 then.
Right. So you had your permit at 14.
So I was either driving or just fixing to start driving. But anyway, the duck hunt, it intrigued me so much, I wanted to learn how to call. Because just seeing him call them ducks and them responding is what got me. So, and he blew the old keyhole then.
Yep.
And so that's what I learned on. And he was going to, what's the name of that school? Bartler Fault, something like that. You was going to be there. I didn't know it. And
this would have probably been late 70s.
Yeah.
When were you 14?
So
when
you were going to, what was he doing at a school?
They had the duck calling contest.
Oh, at the school?
Yeah.
Boy, the world's changed now.
His dad, Dad used to do a lot of youth things like this. Yeah.
So we went, and my buddy was going to enter it. I wasn't planning on entering it. I was just learning how to call, but I was catching on. And so me and Dad went and sat down in the audience, and he said, "You better go warm up." And I said, "For what?" He said, "Because I entered you."
Oh, so he paid your entry fee.
I said, "So, would you want to do something like that for?"
Now you're nervous.
Now
right?
I got to be in the duck hunt. So I went back there. I was nervous. There was all these guys, and come back and sit down. And Daddy had bought me a Duck Commander duck call, but I wasn't very good on it because a double reed. I was used to that single reed. And he asked me,
and you were 14.
Yeah, he said, "You gonna blow that Duck Commander call?" I said, "No, I think it sounds like crap."
Uh-oh.
When I said that, there was a guy sitting in front of me with a big beard. He turned around and said, "My name's Phil Robertson. I build those calls."
Oh, boy.
And I felt about that tall. And he said, "Let me see that thing." I give it to him, and he pulled it apart and redone the reed or something, just reseed it and stuck it in his barrel and blew it. And that thing took off.
Yeah,
and he said, "Hey, I fixed it." I said, "Well, thank you." I didn't even know who he was.
Yeah,
and but he was there. You was doing a demonstration, and you spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that was something. And I'd asked you about that several times, but you hadn't remembered it. But now, 24. I was thinking about this 24 years after I said that to you. I'm cutting, you trained me to cut the end pieces on that same DC-200 call.
So you ended up working for us.
He ended up working for us.
And you just passed.
21 years.
When
was your conversion? Before we hired you, we normally don't hire them unless they're brothers.
Well.
It's like you have to, what is it? You have to watch, Outlaw Josie Wales, and you better be a brother.
That's
you're not
right.
Getting on around here.
Well, my Miss Paula. We had just adopted Johanna, and I was, you know, I was going crazy, drinking a bunch, smoking dope.
Running the bars.
She was wanting me to straighten up, and we need to go to church. And I'm like, I'm thinking. You know where I'm headed, Jim, at that point in my life.
I thought you did that, but you just started thinking. You were in the depths of hell. We understand.
Yeah. Right at the moment you said that, your chair dropped 2 feet.
I know it. I thought you had some kind of handle on it.
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Boy, I always like to do the effects.
Boy, when you bring Goblin on here, we got theatrics. We got everything. Oh, yeah. That's
but
impressive.
Anyway.
I'm glad you got down there.
Your woman wants you to straighten up.
Yeah. I don't know why, because, I mean, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I was going to the bar some. Well, we was actually right before that married, living
sorta
single lives.
Yeah.
And she'd go out with the girls, I'd go out with the guys. But I'd kind of quit that after we got Johanna. And I was just going to friends' house after work, you know, when I'd work evenings or something. And I wasn't going to the bars. I was still drinking and doping and all that, but, you know.
Everything was like a lot of people. You were comparing, well, I'm not as bad as I once was.
Yeah.
So that was the.
Well, you got a daughter. Because when you have a, you know, son or a daughter.
Yeah.
That alone makes you realize, well, maybe I might ought to set a good example.
So being a husky guy, did we say something like, come on down and have a meal with them?
I wasn't husky then.
No, he was a.
Yeah.
And you were actually bull rider. Yeah.
Rode bulls, man, Tony.
Motocross, bull rider. John has quite the history of.
So pick up the story from there.
And so I met Tony Neal, and we rodeoed together. That's what the bull riding. And I hadn't seen him for a couple of years, and all of a sudden he calls me out of the blue, inviting me to church. Well, I busted out laughing because I knew what he'd been doing because I'd been doing it with him.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he's like, "No, I'm serious." I said, "Yeah, well, I ain't ready, Bob. You know, I wasn't ready. I ain't want to be around no holy roller."
Yeah,
and he kept calling me, inviting me, and Paula kept saying we need to go visit churches. So it was coming on duck season, and I got me an idea. I'm gonna go to Tony's church because you go there because he slicked me into coming to a. His house, I want you to come see my house, what he said. It was on Sunday night. We're going to cook hamburgers. And I went over. It was house church.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was mad. I was mad.
They did eat that, but you did eat your hamburger.
Yeah. Well, his daddy was up there. He was my drinking buddy cooking the hamburgers.
Yeah.
And we was up there getting beer and cups, and them church folks wouldn't see us. You was there doing the lesson. That's how
this was starting out shaky at best.
Yeah. Yeah.
So were you there in red solo cups? I was the full, it had to be the full.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
I didn't know all that was going on behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're learning stuff today. Yeah.
So,
Godwin's going to illuminate.
Man, I got me an idea because duck season's coming on. I needed a new duck call. And you went to Tony's church. So I'm going to go to Tony's church, and Miss Paula's going to be happy because I went to church. And I'm going to meet you and maybe get a duck call. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. I'm going to kill me two birds with one
boy,
stone.
Boy, it ended up, Galvin, you got way more than that.
Boy, did I. Tony introduced me to you, and you said bring him on down to the house tomorrow at dinner time, which I learned right then. To come down here at 12 o'clock every day.
It's a practice you practice for a long
from
time.
From then on. And, but anyway.
Which we now lovingly call the Duck Commander 50. You're going to put on 50 pounds.
Or 75.
Or 75.
So I come down. You built me a duck call. And you said, all right, Godwin. You said, what are you doing here? You been messing up? I said, no.
I mean, why not lie, right? Yeah, just add to the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. It's Phil Robertson, you know. He said, yeah, you have. That's why you're here. And he started telling me about Jesus and what he'd done for me. And I was just like, all this stuff. What year? You asked me what year it was. It's 1996 then. And that Jesus had come 1,996 years ago, now 2,020 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And, man, some of this stuff was just, I was washing over me, and I started thinking about, sometimes I'd go to the bar, and the next day I'd wake up and I'd think, I don't think I was very good last night. you know, in the back of your head, but you couldn't wait for it to get dark so you could go back. And you asked me, you said, what about sin? You think you've sinned? And I just kind of looked at the ground. You said, what'd you do Saturday night? I said, yeah, I sinned.
Dad always has a way, right?
Well, he does. This is funny, but.
But I'd never, you know.
I probably was thinking, well, at least he's honest.
Yeah, yeah, after you interrogated him. This sounds like a force.
Sometimes you got to kind of pry it out of him.
Yeah. But you just went on telling me how much he loved us and how much, you know, he went to the cross for us and he was buried and raised again. And I'd never heard that. And I didn't respond that day. I had to go back. You told me something I'll never forget. This is what made me feel, this man just ain't trying to get something. You said, you got a Bible at your house? I said, yeah, I think there's one around there somewhere. He said, you said, go back and lock the door. Won't nobody be able to see you reading your Bible. And he said, you said, read Luke and Acts. He said, and make sure everything I'm telling you here today is true. Don't put your faith in me. I want you to put your faith in God. Hmm. And that really meant a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, hang on. Let's take a break. So this is a brand new sponsor to the show. And I'm really interested in checking these guys out some more. And this Ancestry.com, which is really interesting, you know, that now with DNA, you know, this is something people didn't even, you know anything about. I mean, really in our lifetime, this DNA is like taken off for people to find out about their family, find out about their family history. Obviously in our family, you know, DNA has played a huge role in us, you know, discovering a sister.
Yeah,
you know,
have a sister. I've always been interested in DNA and ancestry just because I think it's an evidence of God.
I think
so
too.
And we have this code and you can look at your heritage. I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah. I've always thought the same thing, Jason. And I never was really drawn to doing it for some reason, but then, you know, we found Phyllis, you know, because of it. So it's great. So,
well, and think of all the people who have, you know, been in jail and they, you know, they found their DNA. Oh, wasn't them. I mean, it's quite fascinating to see your heritage.
Well, obviously I'm so glad these guys are sponsors on our podcast because this has played a big role in changing our lives. And so we want to encourage you guys to check them out. You go to ancestry.com/Phil and find out your story, find out where you come from, find out who, maybe you got some heroes in your past back there. So it's ancestry.com/Phil. So how long? So then, how long was it then before you made the move to?
So we did. We baptize in the river.
I guess
no,
no. I was there the night he was baptized.
Yeah,
that's where I entered.
I just couldn't. You know, I was hearing all this stuff, and I couldn't get by it. And but I'm still like, I ain't sure about these people. But what you was telling me was very, I mean, it was made sense, and. So I did. I went back and I read my Bible and I got to the end of Luke and where he just appeared into the room where all his buddies.
After his resurrection.
Yeah, all his running buddies was up there and they was spooked because he just appeared.
Because this is like the redneck paraphrase version. Yeah. His buddies were spooked
because they thought it was a spook.
He was dead. And go ahead.
Well, I would be scared too. I mean,
yeah.
If I'd seen one of y'all just appear and
after I died,
and he said, "Look at me, I'm not a ghost. Ghosts don't have flesh and bone like you say I have." Mm-hmm. And he ate fish with him, and I got to thinking what
like
he
fish.
Said. Yeah, me too.
No, that's what you were thinking. I like fish.
I like fish.
And it got to thinking. He said, "We get our bodies back."
Yeah,
which is something I'd never heard. Mm-hmm. So
now you're reading it. And
I'm
it's
reading
like, it. Started to make sense to me.
The reason they were scared is they realized they recognized him because he was him.
They saw him die.
It and, was his body, and he was back.
Yeah,
yep.
And I said, "Man, I maybe need to get entered in this." You know? Yeah.
And well, God, that is. I had the same exact thought when I read the same exact verse. I
really,
thought, fish fries in heaven. I was just thinking there's a way to live again. mean, it's weird how we all come from different backgrounds and different stories.
So how long did it take once you were converted before we hired you?
Well, let me go back, though, because the night, because this is where I entered John's life, which we're, you know, really close friends now, and Lisa and Paul are best friends as well. So Tony Neal, who was the guy, because we talk about a lot of people ask us on the podcast, how do I share my faith? I mean, Tony was a good example for that for John. Like, he straightened his life up. And so then he thought, well, I got friends, kind of like you did with your friends, but you didn't go down the road, but you thought, I want them in.
Yeah.
And so people will say, well, how do I talk about it? Just like he did. I mean, he just said, have a conversation and get him to somebody.
That's right.
So he did.
Well, let me say something right quick about that. Tony's a home builder, and we was getting our house built. He was going to build it. So we was starting to spend a lot of time with him, you know, over at his house. And something I noticed. He was acting the same on Tuesday as he did on Sunday, which was different.
Yeah.
Because all them boys at work I'd work with, they was Christian too, but I was getting drunk with them every Saturday night. So, they was telling me they were Christian.
Everybody talked a good game on Sunday, which is, Dad, you make the point all the time, how you live your life speaks as
Romans
much as
12.
That's exactly right.
So
Tony calls me. I had just gotten back from a trip. Me and old Chad Johnson. Had been on the road. I was speaking somewhere, and it was 10 o'clock at night. I was tired. We'd been driving, and Tony called and he said, "I got one of my best friends. Phil shared the gospel with him a while back. He's ready to totally commit, and we're going to baptize him. We're down here at the building." He said, "But I feel like maybe would you mind coming down here and just kind of going through it one more time, so he really understands it? Because Tony's new, and so he wasn't sure he got everything right." So we're all fired up, even though we were tired. I said, "Yeah, come on." So I roll in. And there's Godwin, first time I'd ever met him, and Paula's sitting over there, and she instantly, like, when I came in, like, everybody said, "Hey, this is Al," and of course I was working for the church, but Paula was like standoffish to me, which is funny now because we're all so close, And I thought, what's wrong with that old gal? I thought, man, this old boy here, he's got a rough one there. I guess because she was just like super standoffish and wouldn't even like hardly speak to him. I go through it with John, and so John's like, "All right, I'm ready to hit it." And so it's, "All right, let's go down here." And so Tony baptized you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're walking down there, and then Paula, the first thing she says to me is, she says, "Well, I'm not getting baptized." And I look around like, I was like, I didn't know you were there. I just kind of, because I'd been just.
And she'd been nagging on me
to
go to church.
Turns out Paula had a bad experience with a pastor in her past where she felt like he like really put the pressure on her to get baptized or something. So she kind of had a thing about preachers. She wouldn't care for it. So she, which is funny now, they were all so close. But in that moment, she was like, of course, and then she hit it a little bit later too. But that was my first time. It turns out we had just built a house in Calhoun. And John and Paula had bought the land right across the street from us. And so I didn't know it at the time, but that was the house that Tony was going to build for you guys. And so that started a now 20-plus year relationship. 16 of it, we lived across the street from the Godwins.
Well,
So we raised our families together, through the whole process.
So that was 96?
Yep.
That's when it started, yep.
Ooh.
January the 21st, last day of duck season, 1996.
So 24 years later.
1 o'clock in the morning.
And you're still.
Was it that late? No wonder I was so tired.
So we hired you, a year or two after that or whatever?
No, it was a few years.
It was I was still working at Riverwood. I worked at Riverwood for 21 years. And
by the way, and all that was swing shift.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the old deal about days,
evenings,
nights. Those guys, I feel for them because it's hard to have a life like, But, I mean,
me and Paula had one weekend off a month.
So but John would have to miss a lot of our groups and stuff because he was always working, and he'd call us from work because he'd say, he was missing it, he wanted to be there part of the process.
Yeah. But it was 1999 I started part time. And then Duckman 7, that's when we was going to Texas. You said, "You about tired of that meal, ain't you?" I was thinking in my head, yeah. And you said, "You might as well come to work for me." And me and Miss Kay talked about it. Al had a big part, I think.
Yeah, I was helping grease the wheel.
And so we did. 21 years ago. And now, full time.
So now you've
my
been
21st year.
You've been full time for Duck Commander longer than you worked at the mill this year.
Yeah,
you finally transitioned out, sure which is pretty awesome.
And I'm still working to this day.
Yeah.
So let's take another break. So one of the things we talk about a lot, Jace, we kind of look back over our family history of having a small business, and it's kind of funny because basically me, you, I'm not much Willie in the old days, were the labor force.
Yeah.
Our grandpa.
Willie was holding out for a management position.
And he got it. That's what's so crazy. He didn't put in all the early work, and he wound up running the whole business. But, you know, back in the day, you know, we laugh about it because we talk about human resources, and we were the resources all in one house. But business has obviously changed. People now have to have – they have to be in compliance with all these, you know, rules and laws and liabilities. And you got to have some HR, you know, help.
That was a nice way to say people can be difficult.
They can be difficult. And so one of the things that's hard on small businesses, and certainly would have been for us, is we didn't have $70,000 to hire an HR person. So we would have loved this. There's a company called Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E, and it was specifically created to help small businesses have human resources. And so they can really fit your business and help you out. Month to month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. And so you want to check these guys out. You go to Bambee.com, Bambee.com/Robertson. You can schedule a free HR audit. So that's Bambee.com/Robertson, B-A-M to the Bee.com/Robertson. Yeah, in fact, so John puts Duck Calls together now. Of course, you work at the warehouse,
yeah.
Which is funny because, like, when the show ended, like the, most of the family didn't do day to day anymore. I mean, Jason never went back. You're still associated with the company, but you don't do a lot of day to day, right?
Yeah. You're I tried to quit, and Willie's like, no.
It's like the mafia. You never get it fully.
I'm like a consultant, but he's like, you know, just be there when I need you. But he don't call much. So what's the biggest difference in me and Stone kind of heading up the duck? Yeah,
Stone's
call
the duck call maker now, main guy.
Well, I just don't listen to him.
So, Galvin, it's kind of funny since you do work for Duck Commander now, but when's the last time you've seen me at Duck Commander, at the main office up there and everything?
It's been this year. You come up there for something.
Oh, probably to do some kind of radio hit or something, right?
Might have, yeah.
He comes there every once in a while to do some media, but you hadn't been there to do duck calls. And of course, you know, Jay, when he'll come up with a new product, he always has to make sure Jace likes it. And he also comes, even all these years later, even though Dad doesn't ever ask anybody to, but he always comes to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's like the Godfather.
By the way, and what's really as it turned out, the irony of it all is that when I'm sitting in front of him, he said, "This thing is a piece of junk here." Well, he ended up the last 20 years building them. I would say y'all probably sold in the last 20 years millions.
A lot.
So now the very duck call where it started at a little duck call rally, when people say, "Well, how do you reach people?" And what do you say? You just form a little friendship with them. Come on down, sit around a while. We'll have a meal here, you know, and just pouring them to tell them the story about Jesus.
But to your credit, most people, if they heard somebody say this guy's a piece of junk, most people would
have flared
bitter
up
and wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
But you turn around and say, "Hey, I build them."
Yeah, let me check that. Maybe.
Well, I just knew at that point, you know, he was a young buck, didn't know any better.
Right.
Yeah. So,
operator,
I was being kind.
But I think
but the fact you were kind.
I said, "Is there a possibility it might be you that can't blow it?" "No, are you talking to me?"
You probably said that.
You know, everybody thinks you're the greatest duck caller there ever was. You know,
do you know how many times I've had somebody come up there and they're like, "This thing won't work," and I'm like, "Turn it around." They're like, "What?"
Yeah.
Blow I've been duck hunting all my
try
life.
Try the I'm other like, end.
Blowing the
turn
big
the call around.
Yeah, it'll work when I suck on it, but I can't blow on it to make it work.
Yeah.
Well, you've been in on many a good duck hunt since then.
I have.
And videos, and it led to – so, John, on the show, because a lot of people that know Godwin only know him from the show. you know, because they didn't know all the history we just told. And you know, everybody had a kind of a role to play, I guess would be the way to put it. And so I always felt like John, there was so much more to him than the show showed, yep. because he was usually the guy just with some crazy offhand comment.
Well, you've spoken at a many engagements since then.
Yeah. John probably travels more than any of us.
I think, and that's what I tell everybody, the best thing that come out of Duck Dynasty was getting to travel around and speak. I mean, it's opened quite a few doors because everywhere I go, it's people kind of like us. I mean, you don't see that in the news. I mean, America's great.
Yeah.
The news, the most of the media,
I love it.
They don't ever concentrate too long on rednecks. That's not terrible. That you're a redneck.
That's terrible.
But I noticed Godwin, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I noticed that Godwin, he has a
what this woman told me in Utah. I had an accent. I said I didn't have it when I woke up.
See, now that's a Duck Dynasty lie. So John and I get to travel. We travel a lot as John and Paula and Lisa and I just for fun, but we get to work travel some too. Mm-hmm. And because we got a good little tandem team thing we worked out. We just did some stuff in Utah. We got one coming up in a couple of weeks. So last year we went to Oregon. And I had spoken at a big men's, one of these beast feasts, you know, like we all do. 1,000 men. And look, it's just south of Portland, Oregon. But just think about it.
Really?
Think about it right now. That's right. I go in there. 1,000 men are there. Camo. I mean, I thought, I got up in front of that crowd. I said, I didn't know there were rednecks in Oregon. Of course, they're hooping and hollering. And I thought, they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I mean, the core is there.
Even New York.
Exactly.
So New York City, north of there, up in the woods. You get up in there.
Oh, they're there.
I mean, they're killing.
So I spoke.
They're shooting half wolf, half coyotes, telling me their problem. They're getting their cattle, you know.
We're out there. You just got to find them.
A bunch of goose hunters up there.
Yeah. I spoke at this event.
Good people.
And then the next year, they called me, and they were like, hey, you got any idea? Can you get one of your brothers? You know, I get this all the time. I said, well, they're busy. I said, what about my buddy John Godwin? He'd be perfect for this. And they were like, he speaks? Again, just only thinking from the show, like, can he put two sentences together? I said, he'll be good. I said, and I'll come with him and preach on Sunday because they wanted me to preach on Sunday. So we went out together.
Yeah.
And I love it when the audience, because John gets up there. So the audience, they were familiar with the show. In fact, they showed a bunch of clips of you before he got up. And he's John doing all these crazy stuff on the show. And so I can tell they're looking like, well, this guy, their thing is going to be like, would be like Mountain Man got up to speak. And they'd be like, whoa. I don't know if this is going to go. So John starts into his story, and he does the duck call demonstration, which is really funny. He's got a whole bit he does about the women and versus the drakes versus the hens. And so, but I'm watching this audience, and they're just like, this guy. And it was really neat because I'm out there with them, so I'm feeling it. They're like surprised. You know, and then he just knocks it out of the park, and he just tells his own story, his testimony, just what he just shared on the podcast. And so I love that audiences get to discover there's a depth to you, John, that they didn't know was there, because that's what TV does. It kind of distorts sometimes the realities of it, I guess, would be the way I would say it.
Well, Godwin, you've done well, my man. You really have.
Yeah.
Let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So, Guy, so where have you been lately? Because you brought a box in here. So
This from London.
Really?
England?
Kentucky.
Oh. I think the same.
I was trying to find my London accent.
Cheerio.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
Stand some water. Still, Letty.
Is that what is that from?
One of Pink Floyd's famous lines at the end. Stand still, lady.
Leave them kids alone.
Yeah, that was the brick wall.
Yeah.
So London, Kentucky.
London, Kentucky.
I bet they don't have a British accent in London,
well,
Kentucky.
Well, let me tell you, if you were in England, they would recognize your accent.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I would have an accent over there.
Yeah, they'd say, you're not from around here.
I'd say no.
So open the box. I'm going to see what's in it.
All right. Well
tell us about it.
This is Dan Collard. He's a senior pastor for Faith Assembly of God in London, Kentucky, where I spoke. Yeah. One of his guys that goes to church with him, Hawk Creek Armory, senior AR, hanging on the deal there by your chair.
Yeah, it's probably there right now.
And he said, that thing needs to be redone.
Really?
So he sent this to you.
Well, I didn't know.
Wait a minute.
Check this out. Wait a minute. I said he's done well, but he's...
We lost your mic, Phil.
Yeah, turn that to
in all the excitement.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
Let's see here.
We got a little reveal.
Got a little reveal.
Are you telling me they gave me that or you that?
They gave me that. I'm just going. No, it's your. I hadn't even looked at it yet myself.
Well, break that pistol out. Wow.
Look at there. Okay. And it's got a.
Let me see that thing. Yeah. Holy hell. Just for safety.
Safety first. Yep.
Now notice on the receiver over here on the other side.
Godwin.
X-15.
You can check with Miss K, but.
What does it have on
you
it?
You possibly could get a raise. You might get a raise over this.
Well, wait. That one just got a raise.
There's a clip in there. Does that get extra?
What is the verse on there?
Acts 15.
It just says Acts, the whole chapter?
Well, what do you know?
Well, let me see.
Well, you hold tell on, let's those get brothers up there. I appreciate that.
Or it says.
Well, we didn't even know that, no. John.
So
for our audio-only audience, we are, just so you know, we are looking at an AR-15.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not what it says at all. I was way off.
Oh, I was fixing this up.
This is Psalms 23:4.
Boy, you were close.
Boy,
Acts 15 to Psalm 23:4.
I didn't say
that. I said A-15. I said that was the model number. Oh. AR-15.
Acts 15.
I didn't say it was a Bible scholar, Jason.
ACA-15.
And these people thought Duck Dynasty made him up.
No, he's for real.
Now, some of our audience, ladies and gentlemen, are going to say, wait a minute, they seem to get all excited over a weapon.
It's on the side here.
Well, I know Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd.
I would just say,
walk through the valley.
To all of you out there in the computer land, it may come down to this, but in the meantime, for cotton mouths and such, and self-defense, Govan, good night, son. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well,
I had no idea.
And I got a clip for you, too. Boy, I'm about to yank this off my head.
Well,
I'm hung up here.
It's not funny, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, I guess in your AR.
In your AR-15.
In your AR-15, they comfort me.
It's a weapon, but the staff has gone over to... This little puppy.
The staff has been upgraded.
Yeah.
We've upgraded some.
And the guy that built this for you, he built it personally. His name's Robertson.
Robertson?
Really?
Well, he may be Ken.
Might be.
The Robertson blood, it could be. Could be we.
Especially up in that area.
Yes. By the way, we came through Ken folks, Tennessee, Kentucky.
Yep.
They got in covered wagons, came this way, but that's where, James Robertson.
So I was just in Nashville last weekend, And I was talking.
They got a statue, but the yeah. Black Lives Matter found out it's gone. But
oh,
I mean,
boy. That's right. We better not let them know.
They got a statue of some of our kin up there. I saw it one time.
Yeah, there's one of the main thoroughfares there.
I think he was an ex-governor of Tennessee.
Yeah, he was something like that. He discovered part of that area.
Somebody sent me a thing. One of these
how do you discover something?
DNA deals, and they said, we tracked you to this Roberts up in Tennessee.
Right. Winko's, yeah, all the way back. So,
well, I think there's a Robertson County in Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah.
Our people came from Tennessee.
There. I thought we came from Scotland.
We did originally.
Scotland came over.
But they wound up in Tennessee.
Yeah. The old James Robertson, he's quite the character. He was a explorer type about 1600.
So what would he have been? I wonder how far past Paul.
I hate to tell you this.
When we went to Scotland,
yeah,
the guy showed me. And James Robertson, he showed me it was 1600 and something.
Oh, wow.
But he came over here and, you know.
He was the one that came across the pond.
Jeff and I, because we were.
Pathfinder types, you know.
Jeff and I were going to go metal detect our roots. And so we go down this road for a couple of days of seeing where we're from. And I hate to tell you this, but our ancestors there in Tennessee, they were a bunch of moonshiners and bootleggers.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's why I didn't want you to go back too far.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I need to go on Ancestry.com and look at some of those people.
You ought to see some of the pictures. They're quite funny. And they meant a lot of them had multiple names, you know. There was a marriage was kind of optional.
I need to show – I need to get a picture to Cole, our engineer here, that's – I show sometimes when I go on the road. So I don't know what he would have been. Your great grandfather was James Jephthah Roberts, or Judge Jephthah Roberts.
Yeah.
Who
that,
Jeff
that's my dad's dad.
Okay. So there's a picture. I got a picture of him.
Really?
And I put the picture of you next to it. I mean, it's scary.
Well,
I mean,
the one Jeff really? Showed.
Oh, the big long beard, the nose. I mean, it's you.
Yep.
I
mean, showed one from the 1600s or 1700s.
He had a gunfight with the federales, our federal government, and the federal government killed him.
Really?
He had a.
Well, most of these people that we looked up,
they got him.
Yeah. They all died violent deaths.
Yep.
So,
well, I'm sure. So Godwin on the show, they called you Godwin the Stout. Yeah. But you're where are you from? Where have you done any research on?
I did do some when I was in Scotland. I looked and found that there was a King Godwinson.
Really.
So you got royalty. You better believe it. Just ask me, I'll tell you.
You need to tell Jay that. You need to say you need to treat me with a little more respect. I am royalty, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
So we all came from Scotland.
I guess so.
What do you know? I know we did because they have the Robertson Museum. We visited.
Yeah, y'all
and here we are. We got the band back together.
We're getting the band back together.
Years later,
we have ARs now as part of the process.
ARs, HC. Boy, how did I miss that? HCA-15 is what was on it.
And you thought it said Acts 15.
Yeah, well, I just seen the A in 15 and it looked familiar.
Well, I tell you what, Gavin, I guess going forward, you're always going to be welcome on the podcast, especially when you bring guests like that. Jason and I are expecting something, you know, something similar next time.
Well, and it shows how humble you are, because most people, when they go speak at an event, they're like, look, we have a gun for your friend Phil. Thanks for coming. Most people would be a little upset about that.
Yeah, like, wait a minute.
You seem pretty happy about it. So,
well, if I hadn't never showed up down here, I wouldn't ever be speaking.
Yeah.
That's right. You wouldn't have had the opportunity.
I have to say, Godwin loves Jesus, and his wife is awesome. Paula's one of my favorite people on the planet. I tell her that every time I see her.
And I got to marry Johanna. I got to do the wedding, which was very touching for us. And John and Paula were there for Lisa and I in some of our darker days. John was my buddy. He was good at just listening. You know, he didn't try to give me too much. You know, just need to vent some, you know. And so I always say everybody needs a friend like Godwin just to work through the rough patches. And we did the same for them.
Yeah,
so.
Going down this memory lane, I'm shocked that I don't remember too much of it. But yep. I mean,
I'm shocked that you're shocked.
A lot of them.
I'm Godwin, shocked you're shocked by
it. Godwin is one that made the cut.
The line of the podcast was, now, how'd you come to the Lord? Well, who brought you to the Lord?
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Well, actually,
Tony brought me to.
That's right. So, John, you're always welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here today. It's fun.
I may be embarrassed to watch this one now. I probably would make wood duck calls that day.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.